Pints and Vibes Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Ice cream Christmas. Ice cream Christmas. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm Triple Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation. By the power of the flower dress, it's Danielle Radford.
And of course, today is like the one day I'm wearing a dress with no flowers on
it. I like this dress, though.
Thank you.
It's like a patterned tie. There's like a little tie-dye
like a batik
part of it.
I love it.
Yeah, it's a little bohemian thing.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
I feel like you teach art at my high school.
I wish someone would pay me to teach the art of talking about wrestling for some money.
That's right.
That's the best kind of money.
That voice you just heard was the Tea Time Terror, Lindsay Kalk.
Yes. I actually really like that.
That is a good one.
That's pretty great.
My name's Lindsay. I love tea.
And you go full Donnie.
Right. I'm going to go full Donnie on a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Smash it.
And we also have a special guest, one of the hosts of How to Wrestling, Kevin Mayhem Man. Welcome to Tights and Fights, Kevin. It's great to have you here.
Oh my God. I thought I was like, oh, here we go. Another mispronunciation of my surname. But it was just a very apt middle name. That's brilliant. I'm going to change it to Mayhem from now on.
Yeah.
Hello. Hi.
Hello. Welcome.
Welcome. It's great to be here, guys. Thanks for having me on your show. I have been in a fight and I'm wearing tights, so I feel I'm aptly prepared for today.
You checked all the boxes to be a guest on this show. That you are the perfect guest.
I like to think so, yeah. I mean, it wasn't a full-blown fight. I just put my hands on my hips and had to give someone a bit of a look earlier. But sure. In my world, that's a fight. Like,
I'm British. That counts.
Yeah, right?
So before we get going and talk about all the stuff we have on the docket this week, I want to hear more about your wrestling fandom and how that eventually turned into your podcast, How to Wrestling, which everyone should subscribe to. That is the number 2, not the word 2. Look it up.
Well, I was a wrestling fan, oh God, going back to like 1998, which used to mean like, you know, I was young, but now it means I'm getting old, which is a shocking thing about time, how it's been, just keeps going these past few years. It's really not slowed down. But I've been a fan of wrestling my whole life. I started podcasting about wrestling back in 2014 when I started the Attitude Era podcast. And then I met my lovely partner, Joe Graham, later on that year, and it was 2015 we decided to start How To Wrestling because Joe had just kind of gotten into watching wrestling alongside me, and it was kind of one of those things that was inevitable, I think. I don't think I could hide my wrestling fandom as I had from all previous relationships. And we came to realize quite quickly, goodness, this wrestling thing that I love so much was rather inaccessible, particularly if you were someone who hadn't grown up with like 90s male culture and whatnot. So I thought that it was a good idea, and Joe thought it was an excellent idea, that we should maybe have a podcast where we try to explain some of the big characters and the big themes and the big kind of tropes of wrestling and try and make it like a little bit more understandable, because I think as I've come to learn from watching wrestling with Joe, who's a much newer fan than I, there's so much in wrestling that like they take for granted for you as an audience member, like that they expect you to know. And it really is, can be quite challenging, I think. And it was quite alarming for me, like how inaccessible wrestling was. So that's the How To Wrestling's earnest attempt, is to try and make wrestling a little bit less confusing and maybe a little bit more nice for everyone to feel a bit welcome in.
I definitely recommend it. It's like for some reason, the thing that's going through my head is like trolley stops, like places where you can get on sort of the wrestling trolley and be taken along with it. Because otherwise, it'll go past and you go, I have no idea.
Yeah,
you're just sort of like trying to jump onto a moving vehicle. But when you provide these sort of looks, you have at least a character that will key you in, or storyline. You know, you can watch it with context.
Yeah, and watching wrestling does often feel like being hit by a car. So,
And you would know.
A car that you don't recognize, you know? It's very, very difficult, yeah.
I have no idea what kind of guy. I couldn't even see the plate. It was covered with hair. Now, for those of you out there that are like, we're very glad to have Kevin here. What about Joe Graham? Guess what? In 2 weeks, Joe Graham will be on the show. So this is just the beginning of the tag team. It's just Julian Rowe tag team. I think it's more of a stable. the How to Wrestling Tights and Fights stable. Yep. We're collecting like a wrestling podcast stable. We've got you and Joe, Colt.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Who else? Is that it?
WrestleSplania.
Yes.
Yeah. Who gets revealed as the higher power at the end of all this? Who's behind the robe, you know? Because if we're merging our factions now, there's got to be a higher power.
That's true.
I volunteer.
No, I think we all know that it's Kath from WrestleSplania.
Yeah, it probably is. It probably is Kath.
Oh, women wrestling friends, too?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we have Sarah.
Oh, my gosh. So many.
Yeah.
Amazing wrestling podcasters. Yay. We're very happy to Either know that all or of you and have you in to talk.
Kate comes in with all of her charts and is like,
yes.
I'm taking over.
Yes. Yes. I ship it. That's not right. Anyway, let's jump in. It is the final week of WWE programming before WrestleMania. We are right on the precipice of Ice Cream Christmas. And what would WWE like to deal with less on their biggest week of the year than this John Oliver piece about how terrible they are to all the people that work for them and put their bodies on the line? Here's a clip.
An independent contractor is someone that you might hire for a specific limited task, like a plumber or an accountant. Wrestlers aren't either of those things, apart from this wrestling plumber and this wrestling accountant. But the vast majority are totally different. And as independent contractors, wrestlers are exempt from most discrimination and occupational safety laws. They also don't get paid annual leave, pensions, or health insurance. And I would argue that when you look at the Department of Labor and the IRS's specific criteria for independent contractors, it's a complete joke to think that they apply to Vince's wrestlers.
Ooh. Vince, no likey.
Rat-row.
It's really strange because, like, this is one of those things that I think everyone... It's like an open secret. Like I remember, you know, hearing this, and, you know, Joe, she heard it as well, and it's something we discussed in like our very, very first episode. And yet it just seems to be something that we as wrestling fans feel completely powerless to do anything about. And I wonder if that could possibly change by this.
I don't think it's going to change. I agree it's an open secret. We all talk about it all the time. Whenever I talk to anyone and they say, why do you love it? And I say, blah, 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 all these reasons. And then one of my reasons, which is so weird, now I've had to like have a look at myself, and I say, you know, and these people are so committed, they love it so much that they do this even though they don't get health insurance. They put their bodies on the line even though they don't have these things. And I just think, wow, I really bought into this storyline where I'm like, if you love it enough, you'll do it. And it's crazy. Yeah.
That's passion. That's what we call passion in wrestling.
Yeah, it's not. It's what you
blood,
call
sweat, and tears.
Unfair working conditions.
Is All Elite giving health insurance to their wrestlers?
I don't believe that's been stated.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, they're not. I guess like their justification for it is that if you go to All Elite, you are a true independent contractor and that you can continue to work other promotions, which I guess is a way to justify it, but it's it is what it is.
You know, this is part of the problem I had having this conversation with so many people this week who aren't familiar with wrestling, the history of wrestling, the culture of wrestling. These are issues that go back literally decades, if not 100 years or more. It's a carny business run by carnies. It still is.
Yeah.
There's no justification. It's not acceptable in any way, shape, or form. But we, as fans, feel so powerless in it because everywhere you look, 95% of promoters are scumbags. So it puts you in a really difficult position.
They're basing their business models on WWE, though. That's the thing.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
It's the unquestioned business model that they've always done. And I mean, obviously, you know, Impact doesn't, you know, give health insurance, and lots of places don't, even places that do let you be a bit of an independent contractor. But, like, I think the people who are taking umbrage with that, like, it's as if, you know, the way you solve a problem is you go after the smallest dog in the yard and make an example out of them.
Right.
And then the big dogs all fall in line. It doesn't work like that with dogs or wrestling companies.
No, you're 100% right. But we're also in a weird place as fans. Like if I watch a ladder match, I'm not sitting there going, "Boy, I hope they have health insurance."
No, I am. No.
I'm watching going through it. Then you are better than I am.
No, it's not that I'm a better fan. I just like every time they do something, I'm like, "Oh my god, that really hurt." Yeah. I hope they can go to the doctor.
Well, I definitely see them getting hurt, but I don't think about it in terms of, "Boy, this company that is putting them on television and really, I mean, definitely like Edge and Christian and the Hardys in that early 2000s, they were just like, "We need another ladder match." And now it's not even pay TV anymore. It's just on Raw.
Well, I think
let's
one
put
of
them out there
big
and
issues
have
here
it.
As well is it's not just the immediate thing because we, as fans, you do see them immediately being treated. You hear about them being rushed to their doctor in Birmingham, their doctor. They have, you know, a very visible rehab schedule. They have all this stuff. They have the best surgeons. They have the best doctors. But it's not just taking care of an injury that happens there and then, is it? This is the bigger problem. It's
the long term.
It's long term effects. It's healthcare for your family. It's taking care of your health after you leave the business. And that's another one where I came into a real gray area with myself and with my friends. They're like, what about all these guys who are now in their 50s, 60s? I'm like, well, yes, it was wrong and they should be taken care of now. But also that was a different time. Things were done differently. We didn't have the knowledge that we have now of what impact these injuries have and what impact painkillers could potentially have. There's no justifying it, but things were different. Now it just needs to be overhauled and changed and corrected.
And I'm, you know, it's great that we do have mainstream media now, because that's the only way. Us being, you know, podcasters and people who are already in the wrestling blogger space and all that stuff, no one listens to us, and oftentimes rightfully so. But in this case, having such a huge platform to be able to talk about it, this is how change starts. And if other places decide that they want to start cutting back on their wrestling coverage, or if they decide that they want to cover this aspect of the wrestling story, that's when we're going to start to see change.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be until the media steps in.
I'm still recovering from the idea that nobody's listening to me. Let's move on. Get into some actual wrestling. On the final Raw before this Sunday, Stephanie McMahon finally provided some clarification on what to expect with both brands' women's titles in the main event match. It's a winner take all. Guess what? So was Vengeance 2001 when my hero, who doesn't know who I am, but will someday, Chris Jericho, unified the WCW WWF.
My friend Chris Jericho?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my friend Chris?
Yeah.
I can call by his first name.
Does he know there's a podcast called Tights and Fights?
He does. He's aware.
We'll see.
Does your friend Christian, I think you call him Jay.
I mentioned it to him multiple times, and then he asked me the name, and I said, Tights and Fights.
Yeah, that one.
And then we texted each other because we're friends. It's fine.
I saw Terry Funk at an airport once.
What? Trumped.
Oh, none of you bring your B-list celebs to a celeb off. Yeah, I'll win every time.
Kevin, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
As an Irishman, is there any way for you to maintain objectivity in this match? Or were you? I mean, we're all on the Becky train, right? Are you on the Becky train?
Choo choo.
How long have you been following her career? Did you follow her before she came to the U.S.? I mean,
funnily, way back in the day, in a previous life, I played the role of a friend's band called Fight Like Apes, who are doing shows in Dublin. They needed a bad guy heel mouthpiece, and they hired me to do it, and I got to do it with a bunch of wrestlers. Two of which were training with Becky at the time. And it's really weird to think, like, you know, Finn Balor was also training with those people around that time as well. It was way, way back in the day. And just to think now that all these kind of names who I saw on posters and chip shops in Dublin going to school are now headlining WrestleMania. And Becky Lynch, like, you know, she was, I think, the only woman in her class when she trained. You know, it was very much training at a time when there was no Irish scene, there was no OTT, there was no focus on Irish wrestling. And the fact that she has managed to come as far, it's amazing. I mean, like, I honestly, like, I've not followed her career as closely because there was always a part of me that was worried that she would never be able, they'd never understand Becky on the big stage. And you know, she had to do an Irish dancing gimmick in NXT at the start. I was like, typical. Yeah, now that's what they're doing to the Irish. Like, I was the kid who never wanted to be a wrestler because one day I was like, I'm going to be a wrestler. Oh no, they'll make me be a leprechaun. Yeah.
And they will. Yeah. Oh, buddy.
Or at least river dance. Come on. Yeah. Can you get Michael Flatley gimmick going?
Yeah, I'll get them Michael Flatley paychecks. I'll be very, very happy. Like, even give me the Michael Flatley torso and you can keep the paychecks. I'll be happy with that. Like,
his book was amazing.
Look,
anyway,
that dude's got a strong core to be able to do
that. He does.
But the thing that happens in Ireland is that, like, Irish people don't tend to be as nationalistic and as very Irish as when either a team or someone from Ireland does very, very well. Mm-hmm. And then we all rip off our clothes and reveal our tricolour flag unitards underneath. To the point which I was Googling Irish today to brush up on my Osqueilge. Just so you guys know, your show is called Richoga Agus Troidna in Irish, just
Fuck
in case you want to use that one. So,
I'm not going to try and repeat that.
You know, I got it. I think I said it. I probably coughed.
Beautiful.
Are you not
you did the
Emerald
Isle Pride.
I mean, you're from Philadelphia. You're American.
I'm of all places.
I assumed you were Irish.
I'm a man
Irish.
Without a nation.
Except the one of conversation.
That's right.
What?
That's my nation. I am the man of the nation of conversation. I think the highlight, just when you think this thing can't build anymore, they're like, hey, what if we handcuffed all three of them, had two of them fight and kick out of a window of a car, and then a third one come and knee Ronda Rousey while her head is sticking out. I'm sorry, I loved it.
I loved it.
It was so good.
Oh, I loved it. Loved it.
Have you seen the video of that someone set of the said knee kicking in the face to Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics?
Yes.
Yes.
It's the greatest video of all time. And also the tweet that someone posted of reminding Ronda when she said she wasn't going to stand and take fake police photos because wrestling's so dumb, and then immediately showed the picture of her holding her fake police photo. I was like, life comes at you fast, God, Ronda. It's pretty
That's
great.
So great. And so, yeah, and so it looks like it's not going to, which I was super terrified of, it's not going to be a unification. So it's going to be.
For now.
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah.
I just turned into Dolores Umbridge. Sorry.
Yeah. And we've talked about this because it's the same thing with the tag titles. I love that the women's tag titles are kind of floating titles. I think that makes them, I think it makes it really interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that having a champ who can fight on both shows, especially someone so over, could be really cool and interesting. I think that that works when you have someone who is going to be there. Like, it's not, you know, it's not one of those situations where it's a champ who's not going to be around, and that's why they're not on the show. We know that should be on both shows.
Yeah.
This whole WrestleMania card feels like, to me, it was thrown together very last minute. They were like, who we got? And they've just got those magnetic names from Moneyball. They're like, all right, this guy, and these two, and those two, and then these eight. And yet, I feel like they're low-key are going to be a lot of really good matches.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so strange. Like, because you've got people like Kevin Owens sitting out, like, not seemingly doing anything. You know, John Cena's not advertised. Undertaker's not advertised. And yet it feels very much like WrestleMania still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's amazing. We can have a WrestleMania without Taker. Because he's like, look, he'd be in the building, if he felt like it. He's going to be in the
area. He's
going
to be around, right?
He's just not going to be in the building. He's going to be signing things. And that's always the fun thing about WrestleMania is figuring out how they're doing it. But I do love how much passion everyone is, especially online. People are really starting to get, and I knew it was going to take Becky to do it because she has been a master of it her whole career, of showing that you can really get yourself over with a good Twitter presence.
Yeah.
And so watching people say, like, yo, don't tell me I'm just wrestling on Access. This is my WrestleMania. I am going to kick ass out there, and I'm going to do it for the audience, and I'm going to do it for the kids, and I'm not taking anything for granted. This is my moment, too.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah.
Shout out to sweet, sweet baby Luke Harper.
Switch out, out to sweet, sweet baby Luke Harper.
Baby Luke.
I love him.
Of course, if you're going to be in New York this weekend, there's going to be a ton of other shows happening throughout the weekend. Lindsay, you're going to be there on the spot.
I am.
What do you look forward to seeing? Are there any other highlights there? I know you're going to be on Radio Row or doing your press stuff.
I am aggressively going to be on a WWE press agenda. So that's a schedule, which is going to be very hard to see anything else. Friday morning, I'm going to do interviews, with some of the WWE talent. You are correct. Still not sure which one I'm doing. There's two different ones. They haven't decided, so I can't prepare any questions.
Oh,
it's
so you don't
great
know
fun.
Who might you?
So with? I actually have it. I have, if I'm on, if this is so dumb, I'm still officially international.
Yes.
Which is nice. I'm international. I get to do the international junkets.
You're like a house
so
of pancakes.
So you get international. I wish.
Yeah, right.
I look like I was a pancake.
No.
Hey-o. I get to do the international wrestlers. I don't get to do them.
Great.
That would be a different day.
That's a better podcast.
Be, it's a hell of a day. Snow
with all of his different personalities from when he had the European title.
Yes, hopefully.
He'll come in and leave
us. Current option. So if I end up on one junket, I'll get Sheamus and Cesaro, Billy and Peyton, Matt Hardy, Bobby Lashley, Leo Rush, The Revival, Roderick Strong, Casey Catanzaro, and Alexa Bliss. That could be one. Mm. And then if they end up sending me to the other one, it's Kurt Angle, Buddy Murphy, Finn Balor, Oscar, which is interesting because they always have Oscar at these things and they never let her talk to anyone. And she just stands awkwardly looking very nice in a suit.
Oh.
It's just very weird.
Kind of talk.
I know. Jeff Hardy, Akira Tozawa, Nikki Cross, Naomi, Lindsay Dorado, Ali, Lacey Evans, and Daniel Vito, a former New Zealand international rugby league player.
Okay.
Why?
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to pass on that one. But basically, I don't know which one I'm going to get because they can't make a decision.
Here's a question.
Junket 1 sounds good.
Yeah. You want Junket 1.
But Junket 2's got Finn Balor and touching him. You know that.
Sure, of course.
I mean, yeah.
We need an updated photo so I can keep updating my photo album at home like we're married. It's like, here we are in Texas, just hanging out. This is the time we went to Florida together. This is when we were in New York.
I think it'd be helpful to have some general questions you can ask.
I do have some general questions.
Here's one.
Like, what animal would you be?
Right. Here's another one. Would you bench him? And then get Julian's, like, for example, hey, Julian, what do you bench?
I'll say a reasonable number, 175.
That's a lot.
Bullshit. That's 375. Take that to the bank. Go. You know our producer can bench 375. How you doing?
I look forward to sitting down with Sheamus and Cesaro again. Now they're motherfuckers.
They're going
to
go, oh.
No, I'm sure you think you're strong. I'd like to talk to you about our producer.
And then show a picture.
Show a picture of Julian.
It's like he wanted you to see this. So you can see.
Look him in
open
the eyes.
Challenge. Yeah.
Look him in his eyes.
Julian,
FaceTime him.
His fist just comes out through the phone.
Yeah. Well, you think you like Spider-Man? Look at this motherfucker.
He's going to
He loves Spider-Man. He is Miles Morales.
He's going to cut all of this.
Don't you dare cut this. I swear.
Look at him in the eye. Don't you dare cut this.
I swear. All three of us can take down one of your... I'd be like, we're trying to get the gauntlet off of Thanos. Anyway.
What's he feeling? He's irritated.
Exactly.
Anyway, I'm doing that. And then I'll also be at TakeOver and Hall of Fame and Mania and Raw and SmackDown. So if you're there, come say hi.
Amazing.
I would love to see everyone. And yeah, I really want to see Supercard of Honor, but I guess I'm just going to have to watch it on New Japan World afterwards, which is very sad because I am being made to go to Hall of Fame.
Well, if you're there and you are a listener of this podcast, is there an email they can send a report to? Like we're Meltzer? And get some people who are there? I know
it's just your email.
Listeners like, who are going.
Please tell us whether or not you thought the match was good in parentheses, please.
Oh, yeah. Please send an email to ibench375@maximumfun.org.
That's not set up by the end of this recorded. Yeah. I'm going to kill someone.
Seriously, Julian, is there an email?
They could just email me. Just send it to julian@maximumfun.org.
Listen, just email julian@maximumfun.org. Give us your reports from the live events you attend WrestleMania weekend. And who knows, it might appear on this very show.
Oh, I like that.
We don't know how much time we'll have, but we do want to hear from you either way. We will read them. Anyway,
but don't bother if you can't bench more than 250 because it'll be a waste of time.
Oh, yeah. You have to bench.
We don't
want to
hear from you.
Yeah, you heard it. The stable demands that you can carry your weight, literally. If you've got any thoughts on everything we've discussed so far, let us know about them at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and @tightsfights on Twitter and Instagram, or just show up at a gym. Julian may be there. When we come back, we'll take a look at the career of one of the 11-year veterans of WWE. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
Hey everybody, this is J. Keith Van Stratton, host of Go Factor Yourself, a live game show here in the Maximum Fun Network. Make sure to listen to our next episode of Go Factor Yourself with guest Kurt Brownowler.
I did a show in Flagstaff, Arizona, where the venue just didn't list that the show existed.
Amazing.
And it is the smallest crowd that I've ever done a full hour of stand-up for. It was three people.
Oh, my God.
And Sarah Schaefer.
Yes, I love crafting. It's my hobby. I have a craft nook in my home.
You do?
I do. It has all my supplies displayed in an adorable manner.
Wow.
Yes, applause.
Applause for a nook.
That's Go Fact Yourself here at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelk
and
Kevin Mahan.
Yes, every so
Hi.
Often. Yes, hello. Oh, hello.
Hello.
Every so often, we like to give one corner of the wrestling world some extra attention. This is our main event.
Let's get ready to rock.
Whoa!
I'm pretty sure he'll be at WrestleMania week.
We still got some heat with him.
Yeah, Chikara's having a show, so that'll be fun.
Kofi Kingston. Kofi Kingston.
Clap, 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 clap.
An 11-year veteran, 15-time champion, and the man who has a date with the WWE title at WrestleMania. In honor of his match with Daniel Bryan, we wanted to take a look at the twists and turns of his career leading up to this Sunday. Before we get into it, does anybody recall their first exposure to Kofi Kingston?
My first exposure to him was telling me about Tout. It was those get the WWE Network commercials, and then me and obviously seeing him in the ring, and me turning to my roommates and being like, I think that guy can actually talk, and then being like, Kofi fucking Kingston, ew.
Aww. Whoa.
That's aggressive.
My roommates were very aggressive.
Jesus.
Wow.
Lindsay?
I mean, obviously I remember him being in the ring and watching his matches, but the first thing I really remember when he became someone I cared about was his interview with Colt when he did Art of Wrestling. Mm. And I just remember completely falling in love with him over that interview. He was so honest and excited and passionate about what he does. And I think he was someone I'd overlooked in the way that the company was overlooking him. And suddenly I was just like all zoomed in on him after listening to that interview. He just comes across as just the most decent human. And I remember talking about playing video games with Punk on his bus and like freaking out that Punk had a bus. And he was like, he lets me ride on him, man. And it was just like, oh, and then he got bumped off for AJ. But that's not the point. He just is such a nice guy who seems to love what he does and loves his family. And that just really brought him to my attention. And then after that, obviously, just like the New Day madness kicked in not long after that. So, yeah, that was how he came around for me.
Kevin, what about you?
I remember being one of the 24 people who watched ECW on Sci-Fi on a weekly basis back in 2008 and eagerly anticipating the debut of the Jamaican sensation Kofi Kingston, who had a rocky start, let's just say. He was saddled with an awful gimmick. He had an announcer who kept saying, Jamaican me crazy.
Yeah.
And he felt a little awkward in his role. I remember feeling bad for him at the time that he'd been given this really horrible gimmick. But yeah, like you mentioned, the Art of Wrestling podcast with Colt, that completely opened my eyes to him. I figured he was like, you know, he was a nice guy and all that jazz, but man, he just was so passionate, so humble. And yeah, the word you said there, excited, that's exactly what Kofi always seemed. And I remember thinking at the time, going, God, he's still excited despite the fact he's had to spend 6 years wrestling The Miz and Dolph Ziggler in the Phantom Zone. You know? And you know what? I was amazed. I was like, you know what? Well, fair fucks to him. If he's still excited, great. And then, yeah, the New Day stuff happened and there's always a part of me that like always wanted what's happened to Kofi's career to happen. But I honestly thought it never would. So Kofi's just someone who's just had all these moments over the years that have had a cumulative effect that have made me a massive fan of his without even kind of realizing it until the emotional weight of the last month has kind of unfolded. It was like, God, you know, I'm getting goosebumps just even talking about it. And that's always the best in wrestling when a character like that, you know, maybe underwhelms in the first instance, but tells a story over that career and gets you hooked in.
Absolutely.
He's a secretary who just took his glasses off and it turns out he's beautiful.
Yes, he's the Rachel Lee Cook of wrestling. He, as you mentioned,
he is all that.
That's right. Kofi debuted in 2008 as part of the ECW revival, and leading up to it, these were the promos that aired.
Oh, no.
No!
This is Jamaica. This is my home.
It's not, though. Super racist.
Irie.
It's not your home, Kofi.
My name is Kofi Kingston.
Oh my God.
Each and every day, we run up and down this beach.
Me drink Malibu.
Of enjoying this paradise.
How is it possible that Brad fucking Pitt's accent in Meet Joe Black is better than Kofi's accent in this? Everything going to be Irie.
This the Kofi Kingston me remember. I remember the super Jamaican Kofi, and I always remember him being a guy like, oh yeah, he's got the Intercontinental title back when it wasn't maybe as prestigious, which is no knock on him, but just it was.
Yeah, titles come and go.
Yeah, highs and lows, but always like really exciting to watch. Solid worker, just seemed like a guy, like a lunch pail guy.
Yeah.
He was a lunch pail guy. Really exciting to watch. And he had this great music.
Oh, no, there's more.
You know. Bra, bra, bra.
Okay, this is kind of dope. This kind of slaps. I'm sorry.
We're laughing at it, but we're all dancing.
We're all dancing. Kevin's dancing.
This is banging. This is absolutely banging.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Rasta Bus. We're here for Scrimmage's Bachelorette Party.
Don't forget, everyone, put on your dreadlock wigs.
Go ahead and smoke that blunt. It's just oregano. We're going to have a great time, Irie. Irie, Mom.
I remember one of his early vignettes when he was doing the Jamaican gimmick, and there was a guy who was buried up to his neck in sand, and Kofi was stood beside him, you know, shirtless, looking like a dreamboat.
Yeah.
And then this bully walked over, kicked sand in the guy's face, and then Kofi went, "Sometimes there's a little trouble in paradise." And that was it. I was like, "Do something, Kofi, do something."
Yeah, man, don't just sit there and let somebody.
Yeah, but he's probably baked, right? Like, that's all part of the gimmick.
Well, what happened was, I think, like that, because I had to watch a bunch of these in preparation for this segment, but how that concluded was it shows a bunch of off-screen punches. You just hear the punches going, and everybody's like very impressed by their Jamaican superhero. And the next shot is the bully buried up to his neck in sand, and then the guy who is being bullied comes over and kicks sand in his face. And then Kofi goes, "Sometimes trouble in paradise," and then that's the end of it.
Oh, Jamaican John Atlas.
I feel whole having been told that, Julian. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Who has time to dig that hole?
I was carrying doubt in my heart for Kofi, thinking, well, I know he's going to give it his all against Daniel, but if someone's neck first in sand, I don't know if I want Kofi Kingston to be the man to save me. Yeah. Now he is.
Is it a buried partially alive match? Because if so...
You want to see Daniel Bryan up to his neck going, "Get me out of here." That would be great.
But
it would
have to be in compost. It'd have to be in compost that he made himself.
Just a bunch of leaves. Yeah. Just a ton of leaves.
I pooped this out.
Yeah, and now Bertie's diapers. Yeah. And just, like, it would be amazing.
Well, no, because her diapers are all cloth.
That's too well. Yeah, it's the compostable liners.
Yeah, of course.
Poor Brie.
Eventually, he ditched the Jamaican accent, but he kept the music. As we mentioned, Kofi is a multiple-time champion in WWE, mostly as a tag star, but also as a single star. 4-time IC champion, 3-time U.S. champion. So if he wins the title on Sunday, he'll become a Grand Slam.
When?
Wow. He'll be a Grand Slammer.
When he wins.
Let's, you know.
I have to believe, Hal. Yes. I'm going there.
I want to believe, too.
I'm
honestly,
giving them a week of my life.
The closest he's come prior to a WWE title was an Elimination Chamber match where he was attacked prior to its start during his feud with Randy Orton. That came to a halt when Kofi was supposed to be getting into position for Randy's punt, but wasn't where he needed to be, which led to this moment.
Feeling it. Goes for the RKO. Connects. Kofi Kingston, jaw and face planted in the center of the ring. Orton is going to steal one. The Viper slithering his way.
Oh, God. I remember watching that and legitimately thinking he was going to be fired because I remember someone messed up a suplex on Randy and he did the whole stupid thing afterwards and then they were gone. That was Mr. Kennedy. So I was like, Kofi's probably going to get fired now for this.
Well, Kennedy had other problems, right? Didn't he have other...
Yeah, amongst many other problems,
that
I guess.
That was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, thankfully, he did not get fired after that. He did become known for his Royal Rumble saves. That sort of became his calling card every year. But his character really didn't have any direction until 2014, when after losing a tag match with his new partner, Big E Langston, Xavier Woods comes from out of nowhere and cut a promo that, for me, this is my shot heard around the world in WWE, truly. I was so excited by this.
Everybody listen. I need you to pay attention to what I'm about to say. This is exactly what I have been talking about. You cannot move ahead by shaking hands, kissing babies, singing and dancing like a puppet. You cannot move ahead by always doing what you're told.
Give me that Malcolm
Together,
X energy.
It is our time to find purpose. Because we do not ask any longer. Now, we take.
And take they did. A long break from being on television for WWE as they fine-tuned their chemistry as a trio. And did exactly what Xavier said they would never do, which is come back singing and clapping
Just like puppets.
Shaking hands, just like just a bunch like of puppets. This was not the start of the New Day. The New Day would not premiere until, I believe, the beginning of 2015.
Yeah, they were off for
a
while.
It was like
November 2014. Yeah, so they were gone for several months until they came back. I remember during that time Xavier Woods naming the different variations of who was tagging with whom.
Oh, yeah. He had, like, Battle Assault and stuff like that. They seemed like they were Transformer team-ups. It was great.
Exactly. But the power of positivity would come to WWE, and it sounded a little something like this.
Oh, this is the version of the song without that extra stank on it.
We don't worry about pressure. We embrace pressure. We welcome pressure. Because no pressure, no diamond. And we're about to shine brighter than any diamond that you have ever seen. Ha-ha. It's all about the New Day, people. It's all about the New Day. Let me hear you say it. Say, New Day.
New Day.
New Day.
New Day.
I hate it. I hate it so much. I can still see the gospel choir. In the
background.
I can see Vince McMahon dancing with a headset on aggressively in my mind's eye at the moment, and I don't like it.
And saying the N-word backstage.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, that too.
Did you listen to Kofi on the Edge and Christian show?
I have not heard Kofi.
Excellent. He talks extensively about this and about their feelings towards this direction versus how it ended up and how they did speak to Vince, and Vince did not believe them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they wound up doing it. They turned heel and changed the trajectory of all of their careers. And they've managed
I remember that moment. Sorry. So specifically, it was an amazing moment where they're fighting and they're doing all their clapping and stuff. And they'd started kind of slowly getting there, where at one point Kofi says something like, "We have to clap and be happy or the darkness comes back. Everybody clap." And there's this moment where they do something where, like, someone just pulls a heel move and, like, it works.
It was Kofi.
Yeah, it was Kofi. And the looks on their faces of, like, but it was like, it was a beautiful revelation. It wasn't one of those where, you know, sometimes people will turn heel and all of a sudden they get mean face and, like, we're mean.
Yeah, this
was
like, yeah.
Oh, shit, we can do this?
Yeah, he talks
and
about
when?
It. It's so great. He talks about it. Basically, Vince would not allow them to turn heel. He thought that they should just keep going with it. And they were seeing the negative reaction every time they went out. So because they weren't allowed to turn heel, the way they manipulated it basically was just to go even harder on being so aggressively positive so that it just made people hate them so much. Yeah. So that it went from being people like, oh, I hate these guys, to people be like, oh my God, I hate them so much that they ended up getting heat. And Vince then had to confront the fact that they have a ton of heat. It's just not where I thought it was going to be. Yeah. And that's when they were allowed to make the change, which is so smart. They managed to do it for themselves. They managed to change Vince's mind.
That interview, I think it was Xavier, said, if we don't clap, we snap. And I think right after that was the match where they cheated.
Yeah, it's
like
great.
You got the sense that they finally were going to address that people were booing them, and then they became the longest reigning tag champs in WWE history. They're what, five-time tag champs. Cereals, ice creams, pancakes.
They also talk about coming out in the cereal box in the interview where they had presented an idea to Triple H where they would come out in a Trojan horse, but it would be a Trojan unicorn, and then its belly would open and they would all ride out on little scooters down to the ring. And then Triple H was like, yeah, we were thinking cereal box. And that was it, the whole, they spent 20 minutes of this presentation of what they wanted.
Hilarious.
Bless him.
Hilarious.
They're so beloved now. It's so, like, weird to think, like, how effective they were as heels, though. Because I remember they just, like, they really rile people up. Like, they, very rare does, like, someone manage to so successfully go from being, like, good guy we don't like that much to, like, bad guy with all the fire and heat in the world. Because people really wanted to see Xavier Woods particularly get, like, put through tables or get, you know, stop him playing the trombone. And they're so beloved now. It's so funny to think that was only, like, 3 years ago.
And the way that turn happened was, again, for starters, as I think as fans especially, we love when heels go full on into their heelness. And because they seem to be enjoying it so much.
Yep.
But it really started connecting when they just started doing, like, memes and, like, black Twitter stuff, which I know it was just because they thought was funny. But I want to say the moment when I think the change happened for most people was when, I don't remember who they were doing a backstage interview with, but they did that meme where someone, like, gets a basketball hoop and, like, a little mini basketball, and they, like, dunked over his head.
Yeah.
I believe it was Kofi. And then Xavier and Big E put Kofi up on their shoulders. And I think that's the moment when everyone went, oh, we fucking love these dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll never forget their sit-down interview with Michael Cole where they just played cymbals for 5 minutes and he increasingly got a headache.
Or that weird, like, 20-minute interview with JoJo where they just keep going, Josephine! And they keep telling, like, they keep telling Brandy to go away. We want Josephine! And that's the one where Biggie stares in the camera and he's like, I'm your uncle and I'm your daddy.
They add so much to anything they do. Like, yeah. Anyone's YouTube channel, they popped up on Demandy's Donuts and they were great. Kofi would not eat his donut. He would sniff his donut. He licked his donut. He did not eat his donut. Whenever Biggie is on Total Divas, it's amazing.
Such a delight.
They're just so great together.
Yes,
well,
absolutely.
Instead of building a title opportunity around tension, group tension, this story has been about this group coming together and loving one another and a guy getting what he deserves and has earned after 11 years in the company. He's now on the cusp of his first singles match for the WWE Championship. The contract has been signed, and we're ready. We're ready for this.
Yeah, I bought my crystals. I've been saging all around my TV just to make sure. Sorry, Kevin, this is very LA, but I've just been like taking all my incense, like putting salt in the
Mercury's
circle.
Mercury's out of retrograde now. I feel good about it.
And we're out of the shadow,
too. They signed that contract out of Mercury retrograde, so I felt okay about it. Although, sure. Danielle, I have to ask your legal opinion on this contract that appeared to show them signing a contract for a match on March 10th.
Yeah, they can, if they both agree and they just have someone slash through it and then rewrite the date and then they can just amend. You can do it that way where you slash through the date, write the new date, and then have both parties initial next to it.
Okay.
Well, if the match is as good as the contract law, this is going to be one hell of a match.
Well, yeah. And to be fair, look, a lot of time with those contracts, you're just cutting and pasting off of a form. So whenever their last contract negotiation was supposed to be for a match happening on March 10th, whatever the paralegal just forgot to swap that date out. Let's be kind to them.
I hope it wasn't our friend Darren. Darren, you need to have words with the people over at
Darren, make
Inc.
a call, please.
Yeah, get this figured out.
If you've got any thoughts on Kofi Kingston and the road to WrestleMania, reach out to us at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter and Instagram. When we come back, we've got some things from the wrestling world that we want to share with you.
Yay.
You're listening to Tights and Fights.
Hey, it's Janet Varney of the JV Club podcast, and I am so excited to be joining Maximum Fun. If you're not yet familiar with the JV Club, it's a podcast with me and some of my favorite women, and in the summer, men, as we explore the highs and lows of our terrible teenage years into what I like to call our adult lessons. For example, you can hear about Allison Brie's humiliating moment at a gymnastics competition. You can hear about Jesse Thorne's incredibly salty language in English class. Or you can let Busy Phillips tell you how she met Sharon Stone at an Arizona toy fair, somehow. You can join me and all my once awkward friends every Thursday by subscribing to the JV Club at MaximumFun.org.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kell
and
Kevin Mann.
This week, we are going to end the show by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling with you. This is the three count. Kevin, guests go first here. What would you like to put over?
I'd like to put over Big E's tweet that he sent out the other day, and rarely do tweets resonate with me quite like this, where he said, I like to think of SmackDown as the mouthwash you need after the turd Raw just left in your mouth. I just want to say for a few reasons. Number one, great analogy there, you know. Number two, also, responsible analogy. If you happen to ever find a turd in your mouth, mouthwash, antiseptic, is the way to go. So
truth.
That's
take
perfect
notes,
humor
Philly.
There from Big E. Yeah.
Hal knows
So jealous. So
do they
jealous.
Have mouthwash in Philadelphia, Hal? I've never been. It's a legitimate
pee.
Question. Is it also from the horse whose poop you ate?
No comment.
Okay.
Danielle?
I am putting over. So there was @TimDLTN on Twitter put together a gorgeous, gorgeous, tricked people I knew into thinking it was WWE gorgeous tribute to Kofi, wherein he took the old Daniel Bryan monster package and he made it for Kofi. And it is one of the best things I've seen, like literal tears. But I mean, that's not hard for me. Y'all have met me. but like crying and watching it. And I, you know, I sent it to friends and they were like, I think it's too similar. He should get his own thing. And I was like, oh no, this was just made by a fan. This wasn't made by WWE. And they were like, oh shit. This is really good. So go to his Twitter or their Twitter and make sure you check it out.
11 years ago, I was just a kid with a dream.
Kofi Kingston, first Jamaican superstar here in WWE.
Looks like there's trouble in paradise.
If you were worthy of being in a championship match, it would have happened a long time ago.
Have you ever headlined WrestleMania? You will always just be a B player.
Ever since I could remember, everything inside of me just wanted to fit in.
We'll come back and we would definitely see that. If I told you, I'm a proud old man, super contender,
find a link to that on our page at MaximumFun.org so you can enjoy it.
That song was stuck in my head for a full year, right behind Welcome to My House. That's probably the one that gets stuck in my head.
Now they're both back.
Oh, you said it. Now it's in my head.
Yeah. I never sing.
Is that what you're putting over?
Yes, I'm putting over Flo Rida's My House. No, I'm going to put over We Love Our Sweet, Sweet, Pure Wrestle Babies. So I want to put over a video that was on WWE.com this week of Rhea Ripley seeing snow for the first time ever. Because she's a she also is a monster, but she'd never seen snow, and she sees snow, and it's adorable. She is touring a T-shirt factory with a bunch of the NXT girls, and with it's Reina Gonzalez is filming, and they make her do a snow angel, which she very reluctantly agrees to. But do go and check it out, because if you don't love her already, and you should, you will double love her. She's amazing.
It's snowing.
Is this your first time seeing snow?
Yes, real snow. Oh my god, I've only seen the fake stuff.
Oh my gosh. Damn, dude, look how much it's layered. Come on. Let's go. It's snowing. Make a snow angel. Lay on the floor. Snow angel.
Oh, I'm going to regret it.
It's not really picking up for
us. You're
going
to also not regret it if you don't do it.
All right.
Rhea's first snow angel. Come on. It is going to be very cold.
Hey.
Get on the floor and snow angel it.
Snow. Australians, man.
Yes!
Snow Angel Queen.
I want to put over a match.
What?
And it's from Raw, the turd.
What?
There was a really fun
match. Watch your mouth out.
I know.
With I'm gonna, piss.
Yeah, let me get some horse. I mean, whatever piss. We don't know that it's from the same horse. The tag match between Ricochet and Aleister Black and The Revival was a really, really fun and good match. And you should go watch it if you like wrestling. I particularly liked the tornado DDT off of the barrier.
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, my God.
But also, no, thank you.
So good. So
I don't
good.
Have health insurance, Al. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I mean, I hate wrestling. It's terrible. That does it for Tyson Fights. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. This week, your hosts were Danielle Radford and Lindsay Kelk, along with me, Hal Lublin. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us. What would you like to put out there for our listeners? Where should they go? What should they follow? Tell them.
Well, they should head over to howtowrestling.com, where you can find all the episodes of our podcast. And if you're listening to this and you think there's a loved one or a friend or someone in your life you'd like to try and introduce the world of wrestling to, or even some aspects of it, you can find all sorts of guides and episodes chronicling all sorts of characters and moments in the history of wrestling. And I also suggest that you check out in 2 weeks' time when Jo Graham's going to be on this, because I think she's pretty awesome and she'll do a very fabulous job and you guys are going to have a great time.
Yay.
I'm so legit crazy awesome. Excited. Pretty I cannot excited. Wait.
Do either of you have anything you would like to promote or like people to be aware of?
No. I think I'm good.
I want to say that if you're a listener of Maximum Fun and you're a fan of the McElroys, we're smack dab in the middle of Mackle Month on We Got This, the other Maximum Fun podcast I host. We've had Clint and Justin and Sydney. Travis is on this week. And next week, finally, Griffin McElroy will be joining us. And then the 2 weeks after that will be Lindsay Kelk.
What? That's me!
Followed by Danielle Radford.
That's you!
So that it'll all be out there. Enjoy, listen to We Got This with Mark and Hal in addition to this show. Our producer...
Lindsay, did you want to talk about a book?
No,
oh, do you have
Hal,
a book?
Hal doesn't want me.
Oh, no, I said it. You said... I thought you said, no, not really. No,
didn't say anything.
You didn't? Well,
didn't
what do you...
say anything.
Do you
no,
want to tell
fine.
Everybody about books?
No, I have... Everybody, I have books. No, I have books. What I was going to say is that just remind everyone I'm going to be at Mania this weekend.
Yes.
So if you see me, like, do come over and say hello, because the weirdest thing is when people don't come over and say hello, and they look at you, and you know they're looking at you, but you don't know why they're looking at you, and you're like, is my underwear sticking out?
Yeah, because they tweet you wrong. Later.
And then they tweet you and say, I saw you, and I say, I know you did, and I apologize, but you're like, what, why are you looking at me? So
yeah,
just
like,
come over and say hi.
You have to remember that, like, we're not famous. So yeah, we're not used
weird.
To people staring at us. It could be because you recognize us from something. It could be because we have a booger.
Yeah, and I just hear my grandmother being like, why are they staring at you? What did you do wrong? What's wrong? What's happening? What's happening right now? And I'm like, please don't. So come say hi. Please, 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 please. And if I recognize you, I'm going to come say hi to you. So be prepared for that.
And even if you don't say hi, just go buy all of Lindsay's books as a way of saying
that'd
hello.
That'd be grand. Yeah. That would be great.
Do that. Buy all of the ones that are out there in circulation yes. that have not yet been bought.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, and then you can, is it pre-order? Or
it is pre-order.
You can pre-order. I Heart Hawaii.
Yay.
Yeah. I Heart pre-orders.
Coming soon. I love pre-orders.
I Heart Amazon.com right now.
I love affiliate links.
That's right. Our producer is the pun with the power, Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music. We are putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter and Instagram. If you love the show, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Share us with all your friends. Thank you so much. The Max Fun Drive is over. We hit our network-wide goal. And to all the people who specifically came on board as new or upgrading members that support Tights and Fights, we thank you. That monthly contribution you are making does indeed help this show continue, helps us grow, helps us get great guests like Kevin. That's right.
Oh, you.
We'll be back next week to talk about WrestleMania on Tights and Fights.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.